So please turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17, where we ended last week, and it says, "A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." And again, how tragic it is that the millennial culture, and now there's the new name for the even younger than that, I forgot what it is now, that it's so hard to have a good friend, isn't it? In our culture, it's hard to end up with a really good friend. But God is saying we want a good friend, and our best friend is Jesus, so we got to get really close to Jesus because he's never too busy, he's never texting, he's never defriending, and he's always there for us. And then for us to be friends to others is something that can be a great blessing. A man devoid of our understanding, verse 18, shakes hands in a pledge and becomes surety for his friend. And again, this is, and Solomon says this many, many times in the Proverbs, a pledge is co-signing on a loan, and you shouldn't do it unless you're willing to just throw all the money away. That's really what Proverbs is saying. Never co-sign. And one of the biggest reasons in their culture, because it wasn't insurances and all these other things that can help out with a loan gone bad, death insurance and stuff like that. But when you shake pledge and a guy says, "Man, I'm definitely gonna pay you back." "Okay, well, alright, I'll sign. And if you don't pay, I mean, I'll lose my house, I'll lose my crop, I'll lose whatever, cause I'm gonna have to pay." "Oh no, I'm good for it. You know me, I'm good for it." And then they die the next day. You know, in other words, Solomon's saying, why are you pledging with somebody else that can't even know what's gonna happen? And so it's just a financial wisdom thing. And in my own mind, I say, I'll do it if I'm willing to kiss it all goodbye. Then, and if I can be at peace with that, then okay, help somebody else. Verse 19, he who loves transgression loves strife. And he who exalts his gate seeks destruction. Those who love to sin love strife, because doesn't sin bring strife? You know, try it sometime. Don't try it. Pastor told me to try sin for a while. Just think about when you sinned. Did it bring peace and joy and satisfaction in your life, or did it bring strife into your life? And, you know, those who exalt his gate, they take pride in their wall of protection. They think that, you know, I can create sin, I can create strife, and I'm protected by my wall. Just, are there people that have, it seems to, in our culture, especially the princes, the ones in leadership, that feel like, I can sin, I can create strife, I can do whatever, and nothing can touch me. And see, that's what it's saying. He who loves transgression loves strife, and he who exalts his gate seeks destruction. I'm going to stand in my little ivory tower, and nobody can touch me. And I can create grief and strife in life. And they're doing that, brag about it, actually, being untouchables, and it can affect many other people besides themselves. Verse 20, he who has a deceitful heart finds no good, and he who has a perverse tongue falls into evil. Well, the Bible says that out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. And so it says, he who has a deceitful heart finds no good, and he who has a perverse tongue. So those people that have no heart for God, they have no heart for righteousness, living a holy life in service to Jesus, their heart is going to be seen by what comes out of their mouth and the kind of vileness and perversity. And it says, he who has a perverse tongue falls into evil. And look at all the stuff that's coming out the last couple of weeks, Hollywood people and everything else, all the wicked, evil, adulterous, fornicating, abusive things in these wicked people's hearts that then says and does things that affects so many people and is now affecting the whole conscience of America. I mean, you're watching it explode. You're watching our society in a way kind of fall apart, aren't we? We're watching it. It's just like, what's it going to be today? What, you know, you sit there and you see what comes out of people's mouth and what they do and how it affects the NFL. Then you see what people comes out of their heart, what comes out of their mouth, and you see it affect all of Hollywood. You see it affect every, and it's just like bam, 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 bam. All these things in our society are being shaken. Which in a way is good, don't you think? Let the world shake. Because what's going to happen is people are going to go, whoa, 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 this is shaky, that's shaky, and look at what's happening, and all these idols and all these icons and all the other, everything's falling, and so I better grab onto something solid. What do you think that is? Grab onto Jesus. And let his heart be our heart, so that we aren't thinking wickedly, we're not talking wickedly, we're not a threat to people, we're a blessing to people, we're there to protect them, we're there to protect the widow and the orphan. Just think how ungodly you have to be to want to abuse women, children. And again, in my mind, what I include in that is to support an industry, billions of dollars of industry, of the porn industry, which is an abuse of women. And look at how much of it is in our culture. And, you know, how many people are pointing their finger, that guy is so messed up, that Hollywood producer is so messed up, and all these things, and yet they're involved in the porn industry. It's all the same. You know, they didn't have to go in and say something or do something to a woman. They left that up to the producers of the porn, to the magazines, to the movies, to whatever else is out there. Our culture. And see, God looks down and he sees all this wickedness. And what happens when he looks down and it becomes so wicked that he just... what does he do? Huh? He brings judgment. In love. He loves, but he brings judgment. And actually, isn't it loving to bring judgment? Because what does judgment do in the midst of just complete perversity is it makes people take notice and repent. And seeing if people take notice and they repent, then they come to everlasting life. And so it's love to bring discipline. It's love for a father to bring discipline to his children that are run amok. It's loving for there to be restraint on evil. He who begets a scoffer, verse 21, a father and mother who begets a scoffing son who scoffs at the things of God does so to his sorrow, and the father of a fool has no joy. And as we've been saying over the weeks, it's getting increasingly difficult for a father to raise his son to not be a scoffer of the things of God, right? I mean, the statistics of God-fearing families bringing up children who will, when they reach adulthood, continue, it will actually take the belief of their father and mother of, you need to believe in Jesus, you need to turn away from sin and believe in him, and for them to truly adopt that and let that be part of their life for the rest of their life because they truly become born again, the percentage is like less than 20%. Less than 20% of the kids are going to do that. Why? Because there's so many ways the devil, Satan, gets his lies into people. The lie of evolution, the lie of sex, drugs, and rock and roll will be more pleasurable, and that Jesus doesn't like it, and da-da-da-da-da. All that stuff just gets into their life with their friends and everything else, and the technology just pumps it in, and all of a sudden, a father and a mother find out that they beget a scoffer who rejected Jesus, rejected the truth of the way, the ways of God. And when that happens, a father, a godly father, has no joy. And so I'm going to say to you fathers, if you want to have joy when you grow up, you have to just do everything you can. Everything you can. Watch the technology. Let them hear the lie. Let them watch a Nova show about billions of years and millions of years and the dinosaur millions of years, and then equip yourself to know the apologetics of the truth of the Word of God to show, no, the Bible tells us how we were created. We didn't evolve from amoebas. And to be there to just take, let them hear the lie, but then give them the truth. Must be very diligent to raise them in the truth of the Word of God. A merry heart does good, like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. A merry heart does good like medicine because it's joyful and it's surrounded with the light of God, but it's broken when sin has brought misery into our lives. What is it? It's a broken spirit dries to the bones. What does it mean? It's like, I feel dead down to my bones. You ever had misery in your life that just something happens and the effects of sin in your own life, other people's lives affected you, and it just... you can't get it out of your mind. It's there. It takes the smile and the joy off your face because of the effects of sin. Its broken spirit dries to the bones. Verse 23, a wicked man accepts a bribe behind the back to pervert the ways of justice. And as I said last week when we were having another verse on bribery, it doesn't say the wicked man gives a bribe. It says the wicked man takes a bribe. Because again, if you don't take a bribe, then bribery can't happen. So the wickedness is truly in the one that receives the cash. And we just, yesterday was breaking news. I was telling Louise when she came in the office on Tuesday. I go, I just saw a news item that Hannity's going to break something big tonight. This is yesterday. How many of you heard what it was? He went on and basically the FBI is now uncovering, and I actually read alternate news that was saying the same thing months ago, but finally it's out enough in the mainstream Fox News Hannity thing that hundreds of millions of dollars went to the Clinton Foundation from the Russians, Russian collusion, while Hillary was Secretary of State, because it was illegal for Russia to buy uranium assets, mining, rights in America for uranium. I mean, they're our enemy, and so they shouldn't be having any handle in our uranium assets. And Canada actually had rights, but Canada wanted to sell it to Russia. And that had to be approved by the State Department, which Hillary did, of course, after receiving a couple hundred million dollars in the Clinton Foundation. What is that? Bribery. It's bribery, and what else is it? In 2 Timothy it says, in the last days perilous times will come because men will be lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God. Traitors. Traitors. And then it's what hypocrisy that we've been dished out for months now, Russia connection on Trump. And here it was, absolutely hundreds of million, absolute clear-cut, documented collusion, treason, illegal activity, taking of bribes. Everybody should be locked up. Everybody should be locked up that had anything to do with that. It would be required if there wasn't an Eiffel Tower of people hiding behind a gate thinking and doing evil without thinking with the impunity because they didn't know that another administration was going to come in with a different Justice Department. And think how corrupt we are. Again, people say, Kevin, you're being political, except for the fact that this verse comes alive in what just was breaking news last night, October 16, 17, of 2017. It's what became news. And actually this morning I wanted to make sure I'm going to turn on the other news medias and see if they say anything. Nothing. The regular CBS said nothing about what is the most major corruption scandal to hit America ever, except it was by the protected class, therefore it's protected by the corrupt media. And you wonder how many of those millions were shuffled off to other people to keep it silent. Bribery, 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 bribery. So in the same way that countries like Mexico and other, bribery, you sit there and you drive in Kenya. And one time I was with a friend, we were in a car and we're driving, and the police go, you come over. And I go, what's going on? And he goes, it's a shakedown. It's a bribery shakedown. And just don't say anything, don't do anything, let me handle it. And so we were there for 10, you give us some money. And he says, no, if I've done something wrong, I want you to take me to the police office right now. You just drive your car and I'll follow you and we'll talk to your boss about what I've done, what infraction I've done. And finally they gave up and he got back into the car and he said, if I would have given him something, I would never be able to drive anywhere. Those guys would be on to me because they see I'm a foreigner and they would be on to me. Bribery. And corruption to the point where, and they said, Kevin, you want to know how corrupt we are? Is McDonald's won't even do business here. Because you just have to pay everybody off and you can't make a profit. And see, if we don't turn, God-fearing people don't take the bribes, they don't bring the corruption, and we can function in life. But imagine if this bribery stuff just keeps on going, you're not going to be able to do anything. McDonald's won't be able to do business here and we'll all be like a third world country. because that's what happens when you're a godless people. Verse 24, wisdom is in the sight of him who has understanding, but the eyes of a fool are at the ends of the earth. A wise man is focused on pursuing wisdom, the narrow path. A wise man says, I know where I'm going. I'm going to serve Jesus. I'm going to serve wisdom. I'm going to do what God tells me to do. I'm going to flee from the things the devil tells me to do, and you're focused. But the fool has no direction in life. The eyes of the fool are in the ends of the earth. Oh, you know, maybe that'll solve my life. You know, I'll steal for a while. I'll do drugs for a while. I'll get drunk for a while. I'll chase women for a while. I'll do all these things on the ends of the earth. Anything goes. The fool has no direction in life, but the wise man is focused with understanding. A foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her who bore him. And there's many mothers and fathers who are in grief and bitterness in America today. Also, to punish the righteous is not good, verse 26. Nor to strike princes for their uprightness. You know, and we covered this last week too. It's not good to punish somebody for doing what's right. You know, somebody gets into a job and they're just working hard. I liken this in a way, even though it's saying princes. Princes are people in ruling, you know, governors and politicians and stuff like that. If all of a sudden they get creamed for doing what's right, has that even happened? Again, you know, Project Veritas. Have you ever heard of Project Veritas? It's a guy that's going and he's talking to New York Times reporters and uncovering their bias of, we don't care about the truth, we just want it. We're just trying to put our party line out there. And he just, New York Times, Desiree Hsu was just, her video just broke yesterday. And he's interviewing, she's in charge of the webpage of New York Times as the editor. And the person set her up on camera, hidden camera, and she just is spouting off, oh yeah, and I hate Pence, I hate Pence, and just was using expletives on him. Well, why? I mean, you know, I understand Trump, but I mean, why Pence? He's so religious. And just goes nuts on him. And you just see this vitriol of the liberal, godless mindset that just hates people of righteousness and what they stand for. And that's what it's saying. It, also, to punish the righteous is not good, nor to strike princes for their uprightness. You know, how many God-fearing people work in the shipyard and they want to do an honest day's work for an honest day's pay, and then they sit there and go, slow down, dude, man, you're going to make us look bad. Well, I want to work. I'm supposed to work. Yeah, but, you know, stop it. He who has knowledge spares his words, and a man of understanding is of a calm spirit. May God help us on this, right? May Lord Jesus help us to be known for few words. But when we do speak, even in the midst of chaos, in the midst of strife, in the midst of an argument, that we're known for keeping calm spirit. Isn't that awesome? I know I have not always done that, and I always regret it because the Word of God says it's foolish, right? Even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. When he shuts his lips, he is considered perceptive. And that's true. But if they're a fool, they're probably not going to keep their lips shut, because that's another way of being foolish, is to just spout off and with all kinds of foolishness. Chapter 18, verse 1, a man who isolates himself, seeks his own desire, he rages against all wise judgment. And really, it's saying an unfriendly people only care about themselves. If you're being unfriendly, I want to be alone, I want to be a hermit, don't mess with me, don't touch me, don't talk to me, I just want to be for myself and me. They're seeking their own desire, and he rages against all wise judgment, because why? You know, God created us to have love and affections and compassion for one another. We're not created here to just stand in a mirror and talk about how great the person you're looking at is. We're here to interact with people. And again, it's difficult. In fact, 18:24, jump into 24, it says, a man who has friends must himself be friendly, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother, which of course is Jesus. So, That verse is really important. It's important in the sense that I've mentioned a few weeks ago on a Sunday morning. and I see affecting our culture, because our culture, people don't want to be friends, like we already talked about. They don't mind being friends from a distance. They don't mind being friends in a Facebook post. But to actually get to know people, hang around people, and really be there as a friend, to have compassion, to think about what they're going through, to be empathetic for what they're going through, is difficult for several reasons in our culture. We're too busy, too distracted, and it might be dangerous. But God would have us to not isolate ourselves, but to be loving to those that are around us. A fool has no delight in understanding, but in expressing his own heart. A wise person wants to understand an issue. A fool just wants to spout off and just like, I don't care what anybody else thinks. So I'm thinking the way I think. And they don't care about what anybody else says. They don't care what God says. When the wicked comes, contempt comes also, and with dishonor comes reproach. Those who do evil will end up being dishonored and approached. And again, bringing up these people that live for years in evil. And then some of their evil gets exposed. What happens? They get reproached and disgusted by other evildoers. That shows you how bad it gets. And so they live in this delusion. The wicked lives in a delusion that they're going to be protected and somehow they're not going to have to answer. And some of them do get away with it in their whole life, right? They can do evil. They can get away with it in their whole life. Then what happens? Well, then dishonor and reproach comes when they stand before God. And God says, yeah, you got away with it down there. You're not going to get away with it here. The words of a man's mouth are deep waters. A wellspring of wisdom is a flowing brook. And if we were to fulfill this, it's saying the words of a wise, God-fearing man's mouth are deep waters. And the wise, God-fearing man's, woman's waters, when they do come out, when they do speak, it's wisdom. It's like a flowing brook. It's like clear water. And it would be, if you're known as somebody goes, man, that was deep. And refreshing. So what you say is, man, that was deep. And what is deep? Today, everything's shallow. You notice everything's so shallow. How are you? It's just the weather or this or that or sports. So, you know, what's the sports happening? What's the weather happening? But deep things are what? What are deep things? The deep things are the spiritual. How's your soul? How are you growing in your relationship with Jesus? Are you walking in the light as He is in the light? Are you, to talk about deep things, which is almost non-existent anymore. Talk about the deep things of life, the deep heartfelt things of life. But God would want us to do it, to be deep waters and a flowing brook, refreshing. It is not good to show partiality to the wicked or to overthrow the righteous in judgment, which we've already talked about. A fool's lips, verse 6, enter into contention, and his mouth calls for blows. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. Just every time they open their mouth, it's just asking for a knuckle sandwich. That's really what Proverbs is saying. Just every time. They just open their mouth and somebody just saying, you need to just be taken down. You're so foolish. Verse 8, the words of a talebearer are like tasty trifles and they go down to the inmost body. It's really talking about the people, and people do this. I hope nobody here ever does it. And if you do, that you'll repent after reading it. I have something really juicy to tell you about so-and-so, but you have to promise me not to tell him or anybody else. And that's what this is saying. The words of a talebearer are like tasty, oh, tell me. I'm going to know his secret. And now think about this, because there's another verse that's going to deal with it later on, deal with this very issue. When somebody has told you that, if you've lived very long at all, it's happened. Somebody's told you something juicy about somebody else. Does your mind ever say, you know, they could be totally lying about what they just said? Do you ever say that? It's not our tendency to do that. We think that if they're going to tell us something, that it's the truth. But what if it's not? And then they sit there and they say, and don't tell anybody. Don't tell them what I said to you. So now your mind has been corrupted to think about somebody in some way. And they're walking along. They might, oh, how you doing, Kevin? Yeah, good. But I know something about you that I can't tell you. And you're just never get it out of your mind. And they're thinking everything's okay. And if you do divulge it someday, and they go, really? That is such a lie. That's not even the truth. And you've been living this way in your response to me. And see how destructive the mouth can be in the hands of somebody who wants to plant little trifles of information to make somebody discredited in the eyes of others. Something that we are forbidden to do. We are required not to do that. What are we required to do? Let's say the person really did do something. What are we required to do? Go to them. And go to them and win your brother or win the person over to say, hey, you know what? I saw something going on and I want to confront you about this instead of tasty trifles to other people to just spread it around. And maybe the person will repent and turn around. And I'll give you an example here when we get a little bit further of how this has been. I just found this out about a friend of mine, actually, that just totally destroyed life because of situation. He was slothful in his work as a brother to him who was a great destroyer. So somebody that is so slothful, what's going to happen if you're really slothful in work? What does your boss do with you? He fires you. So then you're still wanting to suck down burgers and dogs. So where does that come from? It comes from somebody else that's got a job. And so how did you get that? Well, you either stole it from them, or in this country, the IRS stole it from them, so that you can work. And that's destructive, isn't it? It destroys a society when that happens. And we're required by God. It's part of the curse for us men. We're cursed to have to work by the sweat of our brow. And when a society goes away from that for whatever reason, then destruction comes because slothfulness is rewarded and the great destroyer has come. Verse 10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. The rich man's wealth is his strong city, and like a high wall in his own esteem. Now, what would you rather trust in? Your riches or your knowledge of faith in Jesus Christ? Okay, now we all say, by our faith in Jesus Christ, who's my strong tower. Because riches are fleeting. They can be extremely fleeting. And you can build your rich, you can build your bomb shelter. You can build whatever you want to. You're going to die and you're going to stand before God. The wise person realizes that we're headed to eternity and you get right with the one who rules eternity, which is Jesus Christ. And we run to him. And in fact, this is a song. We ought to sing it one of these. I don't know how many songs there are out of Proverbs. Not many, but the name of the Lord is our strong tower. Is a neat song that we sing. Verse 11, a rich man's wealth is his strong, or verse 12, before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty, and before honor is humility. So before dying and going to hell, a person is proud. That's the final destruction. And it is what sends everybody to the lake of fire, is their pride against God by saying, I'm not going to let God rule my life. I'm not going to get forgiven for sin his way. Who is he to tell me how to be forgiven for sin? And that's pride and haughtiness. It leads to destruction. But before I can be honored, what honor are we seeking? Everlasting life and forgiveness from God. And it says, and before honor is what? Humility. And this is so important and something I've realized and I'm more sensitive to much more over the years as I see the importance of it. The first thing we should be telling people when we're witnessing to them is you have to get humble about what I'm saying. You have to let this sink into your heart that you're not in charge of your life. That you are going to answer to God. You cannot just say, oh, I'm educated and I've got answers for all this stuff and I don't care what the Bible says and I don't care this, I don't care that. You're wasting your time until they say, well, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I should listen. Maybe I haven't got life all figured out. Eternity all figured out. Because before honor, by God himself saying, I forgive you and you are now a child of God, there is humility is required. He who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame to him. And here's the example, you know. Do you think, this is the example, and I'll close with this. And I just found this out. Pastor friend of mine that I knew. And 2 years ago, his wife decided, and I'm going to just say she lied. She said, my husband's abused my children. And I'm going to say I know it's a lie because of other information where even now she's with this other guy. It was like, okay, I want to be with him. So what do I do? I'm a pastor's wife. What do I do? He's abused the children. And now, once again, tasty trifle. What are people going to think? What are the government authorities going to think? Of course, all pastors abuse their kids. there's the natural evil, the wanting to believe the evil. So the investigator, a lady that was investigating, talking to the children who had all been preconditioned, they're young children, so they're preconditioned what to say by their mother. I don't feel comfortable answering this question. Do you ever hear that from a six-year-old? So in the first interview, there wasn't the understanding of what was going on, and the lady was saying, you know, she said, there was cause for concern, and he's fighting it in the courts now. But then the second time she interviewed, after she was aware of other things that were going on with Mama, she was interviewing, and she said, stop the recording and stop the camera. And they turned it off, and then she started weeping. Because she said, I did such a horrible job. I've done such a horrible job for this man in those first interviews. Because I'm seeing what's going on now. And continued with what was going on. And so, you know, here's the person realizing, I believed a lie about somebody and basically am helping to destroy his life. In the life of his relationship with his children. When I asked about, you know, well, what did the district soup do? Well, he just fired him out of the pastorship. Said, you're gone. Why? Because he who answers a matter before he hears it. He didn't even listen. He didn't even want to listen to, you know, hey, son, no, I have not done that. I would have, you know, how foolish. How foolish to not listen to what is going on before you make decisions. And it goes on to say, one person tells you one thing and, oh, you know, that sounds so good. And what this verse is saying is don't act on that until you go say, but now why don't you tell me? You're really a jerk, but why don't you just go ahead and tell me? Oh, there's more to this story than meets the eye. And see, the Proverbs have so much for us that the world around us is not listening to, and misery is coming to our society. Brokenness, destruction, horrible things. A pastor's wife is off living in sin with a 25-year-old, much younger guy. And it was really, I want out of this, and what do I have to do? Destroy somebody. It's the way it's going to come out in my estimation. The truth will come out someday, and I bet you that's how it's going to come out from me knowing this guy. And I can't believe that the pastor over him did what he did with Proverbs in mind. So let's not ever do that, right? No tasty trifles of evil out of our mouth. We want to listen to both sides. You know, both parents have to be so careful when the sibling rivalries, and you just make a decree on one of the kids and you declare them the one, the perpetrator, and when it wasn't them. Don't we all get upset when the refs flag the wrong guy in the games when we used to watch football? when you just get, how could they do that? Somebody fire that guy. And that's what Proverbs is saying. You got to just think about what's going on and you're being set up all the time to make a wrong call about people and you just don't know until you really hear what's going on. Amen? Let's stand and pray. Father, we thank you for your word. God, help it to truly sink down into our lives and to be our guide. God, we pray for families that are raising children that you give them great wisdom and strength and understanding in raising them to not be scoffers, to not bring grief and misery, Lord, and what a job that entails. And we pray that you'd help us to guard our tongues, which are an unruly evil. And if we allow them to just be ruled by our flesh or the devil, we can do such destruction. I pray for my pastor friend, Lord, that you would comfort him. God, that you would comfort him to realize that all things work out together for good for those that love you. And even in the midst of this horrible trial, we know that somehow you're working in his heart, that you would just help him and just trusting in you and drawing close to you, Lord. We thank you for the joy and the peace that we can have through the power of your Spirit working in our lives. And pray you'd help us to walk in the light until you come to take us home. In Jesus' name, amen.
Praising my Savior all the day long. my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
It's a great story to have, amen? Praise Jesus all day long, till He comes, takes us home, and then for eternity after that. God bless you. Keep you in His care until He can fellowship again.